Good morning. Please read with me Luke 24 out of the Message Bible, everybody. He went on to open their understanding of the Word of God, showing them how to read their Bibles this way. What he meant by, or what the Message Bible means by this way, Jesus had just done a teaching on how he was revealed in the messianic prophecies and promises found in the book of the law, found in the Proverbs, found in the Psalms, found in the prophets. And that was the way to look for Jesus through the whole scriptures, to look for the promises of him. And we're reading that each time for a number of weeks out of a different translation each time. And today it was the Message Bible. Lord, I ask that you would do that you would open our understanding, that you would open our understanding, and we commit our lives to you and this day in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So the whole focus today is the word present. Please say it with me, present. That's the whole focus. So it's November 27th, and the two rails. I started this last week in focus of Thanksgiving, Romans 1:21. And there are two things that are mentioned in Romans 1:21 as God was using Paul to open an understanding of life and what's wrong and how to fix it and how to walk. Once you've entered this fix, you've received, so to speak, the fix for the real problem, which is sin and its eternal consequences, how to live and how to walk. So this will take over a number of weeks as we do that, but it starts at the beginning of the book of Romans, Romans 1:21. And it gives these two things that were not being done. Paul was saying what was wrong, what went wrong, what needed to be done. They needed to glorify God as God, and they needed to be thankful. I use the analogy, the illustration of a railroad train and of wheels, the railroad wheels, and what kept them on the tracks. And in this illustration, you see the pieces, and every analogy breaks down. Every analogy can have some good elements. Every analogy, there are ways that it doesn't adequately cover. But I want to use this as the two rails. Those are what's to be inside of us, and those are these two clear dimensions at the beginning of the book of Romans that they didn't glorify, which means you can glorify God as God, and you can be thankful. And in essence, those are the two rails our life is to roll down. I started last week pretty early in the message by explaining I'd heard a father sing a song at a place that I was 2 weeks ago, and he started by giving this story when he was praying at night with one of his kids. He asked if his young son, 3, 4, 5 years old, had a prayer request, and the prayer request was a little surprising to him. I want to ask God to help me to color within the lines. Now, 4 or 5-year-old, you may be at a place where you don't like that analogy, but for a 4 or 5 who coloring and they're trying to color and trying to do it well, that is a perfectly legitimate and understandable prayer to color within the lines. So I'm borrowing that to stay on the rails, to stay on the tracks. And you can see the pieces up there. The wheels, so to speak, are our life and our goings and our choices and our living. It's the wheels, and explained that the wheels are designed, train wheels are designed to stay on the track. And the way they're designed to stay on the track, different than what I thought, is that because they are conical in shape, they're tapered. Another way to say it is, but they're tapered all the way around and around, so they're in a cone. And so both of the wheels are tapered in such a fashion that it tends to keep the wheels on the track. I initially thought it was those flanges, those raised edges on the inside that kept the wheels on, but actually it's the slant, it's the cone shape of the wheels. And they run on the rails, and the rails are placed on top of, I don't even know the name, I call them logs, railroad ties, cross ties. And the cross ties are placed in a bed of rock. So for this analogy, and please allow some slippage, for this analogy, the bedrock that the cross ties are on is Jesus Christ. Or, in essence, your life, the train, so to speak, can be built on, Jesus used the analogy, can be on rock, can be on him, his teachings, his life, or it can be on sand. And when the storms and winds come, the sand will give way, the foundation will give way. So the foundation I am liking in the train analogy, the foundation is actually the bedrock on which these cross ties are placed. I want to suggest that the cross ties are the decisions that you make. And the term presenting yourself, the decisions that you make can be settled, are to be, how does life work? How has God designed it to work? It is to be, we are to be settled on the rock. I know that it's many smaller rocks, I understand that. I'm just using that as an analogy. It's all placed on rock. The cross ties are our decisions, our presentations. The two rails are the two truths that are to be alive within us, but they are, God has created the whole universe around these two truths. That is, he is God, he is the creator, he has made us for his purposes, for his intentions, for his design. He has made us, and he designed us to run, to stay on those rails by glorifying him as God. And in context, it's talking about him as creator and being thankful. So, just to kind of push this just a little bit, I have asked the sound booth to call up the first of two videos. So this will be the first one. And I want to show you what happens when the train is rolling and it's set up right and there's no give. And the rails are staying the same distance apart, and there's no bumps on the tracks. What happens? What holds? What do the wheels do? I briefly told you last week. So we'll look at a diagramic representation of it, a graphic representation of, especially when it goes around the curves. So in your own life, when you go around the curves, the wheel staying on. Actually, in many train accidents, the problem is the cross ties. The problem in many instances, not in every instance, but in many instances, the problem starts with the cross ties. Obviously, if it's not placed on solid ground and what the whole train track system that our life is rolling on, obviously that structural weakness will cause all kinds of havoc in terms of the train. But let's say it's on potentially really good ground. It's the cross ties that many times are the real problem. So this will not show that. But you're going around bends. What happens to the wheels? And this is a 4-minute video. I've cut it down to just 2 minutes. And it's going to start showing just one of the wheels. And there'll be a line show up in that wheel. And as the wheels, as you can tell, it's beginning to go around a curve. The wheels slide to adjust to the curve. And you can see the direction, if it's going around to the left, they actually slide to the right and see where the wheel is riding. And it's especially in the curves is where there's a vulnerability. If there's a weakness in the cross ties, and so to speak, the rails, which are really inside of you, and that is what is inside of you that is committed to glorifying God as God and being thankful. And we want to look at it in the context of the book of Romans. So if you could put the first one on, and it's starting in 2 minutes, and so it'll pick up right away. And what I'm trying to get you to see is that single line that's on the wheels that shows where the wheel is actually hitting the track. In this instance, the tracks are staying, the rails are staying where they should. Please, can you... what I said on the paper, and if you could cue up the second one. Now, this one is a dramatization of a wreck, but not the wreck, just the train tracks. What happened in the train tracks? The point of this is to try and illustrate that the bedrock is Jesus and his provision and what God has done for us in Christ. Our lives can be built on that. If it's built on that, then that bedrock is there. We can, with ourselves, our lives, embrace, accept what God has done, and build our life, so to speak, the rail system that we're rolling down, the presentations, the commitments that we make. We lay those on Jesus Christ. The rail system, which is in essence glorifying God as God, being thankful. And as you go around curves, sometimes it's heavy on glorifying God as God. Sometimes it's heavy on being thankful. But both wheels have to touch at all times. So this will be, this is a minute and a half, I think, a minute and 30 seconds. And it'll show what can happen. And the real problem was with the cross ties and what was holding things tight. Please, can you show the second one?
This animation graphically demonstrates track features in the accident derailment. In 1990, the BNSF installed concrete cross ties through the accident area. The investigation found 19 cross ties with varying degrees of rail seat abrasion in the immediate area of the derailment. Many of the tie pads in the area had worn out or been displaced since their installation. Let's look at the effects of cross-tie abrasion in more detail. When tie pads are no longer effective, the cement surface of the cross-tie is repeatedly abraded by the flexing of the rail under load. As the abrasion of the rail seat increases in depth, an angled void is created under the rail base. The worst abrasion measured 1 1/4 inches in depth. This allows the rail head to rotate outward and widen the gauge, which is the distance between the rails. It was at this location where the train derailed. In this accident, the rail seat abrasion became excessive and the gauge widened so much that a wheel on the inside of the curve dropped within the gauge of the track, which began the derailment sequence.
In the book of Romans has been written to help you and I eliminate this. And the key word this morning is to present yourself. And I mean by that in this illustration, to present yourself, to lay yourself, so to speak, on Jesus Christ, to embrace him, to accept him, and to be tight in holding on to glorifying God as God, being thankful, as trains are designed to stay on the track when they're aligned and the foundation is settled, no matter what the turn is, they will stay on the track. So I use that analogy, amplifying it just a little bit. So Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, the context of glorifying God as God is he's the creator. He has made you." Now, I want to say this thought occurred to me this week as I was thinking about many times when people, when they hear that glorifying God as God and being thankful, they may say, "I'm not the least bit thankful for what's going on in my life. I'm not thankful for the things that I've experienced. I'm not thankful for maybe the family that I was born into. I'm not thankful for the limitations that I have, the physical limitations. And what's the starting point?" Many times people pick as the starting point the wrong place to pick as the starting point. And I believe the book of Romans lays out what is the starting point where you glorify God as God and be thankful, and you roll on. You do God's purposes. So this is the context of 121. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The whole context is creation, the creator. And that there is a record, a divine record, the creation, that is undeniable, says that there is a God, an intricate, elaborate, magnificent God. It goes on, this is Romans 1:21. "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God." Problem number one. And the whole earth stands accountable before God because of the creation. "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish heart was darkened." As a result of that, and so you may be here this morning and you might be thinking, "I'm not even on the track. I'd like to get on the track." You might be thinking, "I'd like to stay on the track." It is if you're focusing at all on this. I'd like to get on it. I'd like to stay on it. Romans 1:22, it goes on. So not glorifying God as God, worshiping an essence, so then picking other things that are God, could be themselves, or could be the worship of other animate, inanimate things, the sun, the moon, animals, grasshoppers, all kinds of things, lawns, golf balls. I used to tell Timothy and Cody on the way to church, we passed a golf course, and our house still passed a golf course, and I would tell Timothy and Cody, they worship golf balls there Sunday morning. And Timothy, you know, they had the idea that there was an idol in there, and it was a ball, a big ball, and they would bow down before the idol. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." What? Who were the fools? That they didn't glorify God, Almighty, creator of heavens and earth, the sea, and everything that's in them. They didn't glorify God as God, weren't thankful. And as a result, their mind became dark in their thinking, and they became fools. Romans 1:24, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, because on the inside of us there is the power to love, there's the power to lust. God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their flesh," and here it is, "to dishonor their bodies among themselves." What was the decision? Bottom line, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. That is the end of it. And if Romans chapter 1 goes on and lists a whole host of things of the lusts of the flesh, apart from Jesus Christ, apart from being born again, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us, a whole litany of things that find expression and are finding expression for sure in our world today. The point is to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So I want to jump to Romans 12 because I believe that's the counterpart. But on the way to Romans 12, what are the things that Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, makes clear? A couple of verses you know very clearly. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned," say it with me please, "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's the problem for all humanity. Every one of us in this room, that was our problem. If you're in Christ, that has passed away. But all, meaning the consequences of our sin have been taken care of by what Jesus did on our behalf. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us what's the impact. And all of this is built and developed in the book of Romans. For the wages of sin, please say it with me, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul is developing in the book of Romans the problem. It's sin. It has consequences, eternal consequences. The wages of sin is death, but there's a gift. God has made a gift available in Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Romans chapter 8, 1 tells us that how we live and walk, we can live and walk in what God has done for us. And so please read this with me, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And one other, Romans 8:39, nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ. And everybody said, amen. Okay, so that's all. We're passing that by. We just covered 11 chapters of the book of Romans. Really quick, turn to Martha and say, well, that was quick. And I should have paid better attention. That went really fast. So now, Romans chapter 12, to the point. The last verse of Romans chapter 11. And God in chapter 10 and 11, God addresses Jews and Gentiles and his purposes and his callings. And it comes to this point. The point is glorifying God as God, presenting ourselves, presenting yourself. And then we want to act on that through taking communion together. God help me to remember. And Faye, if it becomes 10 minutes till and I'm not there, can you go ding? Please just Faye, only one ding, please. Just one. Romans 11:36. For it's of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. So Paul is bringing this whole crescendo of the problem, what it really is, sin, what its real consequences are, death. What is God's provision? A gift by faith in Jesus Christ. And we can walk in that, roll on that, so to speak. We can walk in that role, using the train analogy, with our lives. And nothing can, because that has been given to us in Christ, nothing can separate us from that. The love of God has been given. So for everyone in the United States, everyone in the world, whether they worship grasshoppers or worship golf balls or worship their job or worship their bank accounts or worship other kinds of things, whether they are engrossed in all kinds of vileness that is utter loss to all, the love of God has been given to everyone in Christ Jesus, and it cannot be taken away, because his blood was accepted by God the Father, and it was sufficient. And all that sin brought into being, Jesus and his blood and death and resurrection redeemed all of humanity from, and is available. And we can, with our cross ties, with our life, with our decisions, we can lay it on the rock, the solid rock, Jesus Christ, or build our train tracks on that. So Paul is saying the wisdom of God, the creative wisdom of God, nobody was his counselor in the few verses that preceded this. No one, God didn't have anyone telling him, this is how you ought to do this, this is how you ought to do this. that no one was his counselor, and all that he has done is, it's of him. It is his doing. The creative works, how he made you, the purpose, the function for which he made you was of him. It wasn't someone else's idea. It was God's idea. So the creative design of the time in history that you were born. But in its context, the actual role in life, especially in the body of Christ, you were created to function in the body of Christ. It was God's intention for all to function in the body of his Son, the Redeemer, who came to redeem us all. You may or may not choose that. It will be your eternal loss if you decide, no, I won't choose that. It is to your eternal benefit and blessing to choose what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. It was of him. It was his doing. And it was through him. So the enabling to function, to live, to be who God has created you to be is of him, it is through him, and the intentionality, it is good. I love the final declaration of the angels, and it will be the Christmas message, is glory to God on the highest and on earth peace, goodwill to men. The intention, the angels, they saw it all played out. And I think they couldn't help themselves, however many there were. They acknowledged, this is the work of God to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest. It was such an exaltation. They saw it fit together, the plan, the 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 year plan, however long it had been, and all eons before time was created as we know it. It came together. And all they could say is, glory to God on the highest. And on earth, what is his intentionality? Peace, goodwill to men. God's intentions for you are goodwill, peace and goodwill. But you don't know what I've been born into. Yes, there's sin. There's a devil. There's a whole kingdom of darkness that we're in great conflict with. But there's provision that is greater than that. God, the Creator, his intention for you with peace and goodwill. It is of him. It is through him for us to ride on those rails that God designed. This is how life is really designed to work at its heart. Glorifying God as God, the Creator, Planner, Designer, his intentions for your life, and being thankful to God and man. And those two tracks, based on Jesus Christ, the foundation, the solid rock upon which we stand. It's of him and through him and to him. Its intentions are to bring glory to God. Its intention is peace and goodwill to men. It's eternity in heaven. It's unexplainable and unfathomable things that God has for us. All good, and to him that you have designed this way, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul is consummating 11 chapters with the problem, the full extent. It's sin, the way it's for all have sinned. That's the problem. But, and the earnings of sin is death, but there's a gift, and that gift is through Jesus Christ. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ. And it's by faith, and he talked about the faith of Father Abraham. And in Christ we are to walk. We're to walk in the Spirit, and there's no condemnation. So it's a whole life. It's a whole lifestyle. It's of God. It is through God. It is his enabling. It's not something that, okay, I got to make it work this morning. It's his enabling. It's of him. It's through him. It's to him. To him be the glory forever and ever. Then Paul opens up this magnificent chapter, section, starting in verse 12. Well, how should we live? Based on all that, how should we live? And what's the starting point? The starting point, obviously, is recognizing the problem is sin. That's the problem. There has been a provision, Jesus Christ. It's the provision of the Father and Jesus. And it's the love of God that has given that. And that's available to us. So it's like this bedrock roadway of the life, the intentions that God had for you that has been laid out. You and I can lay those cross ties on Jesus Christ and build our lives. How does it start? It begins with starting on Jesus, the first 11 chapters, to deal with the need that we have. But accepting that, starting on the position, I'm in Christ. It's through Christ, I'm in Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. So, goes to Romans chapter 12, and Paul uses very strong language. He's saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So it's like, I am begging you. I'm trying to make this as clear as I can make it, Paul, in essence. I beseech you by the mercies of God. It has been God's mercies that brings us to this point. So the mercy of God brings you to the point. The mercy of God brings everybody to the point. It's the mercy of God. Whether your life appears as desperate to you as someone else's life may appear, it's the mercy of God that brings us to this point. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, what's the key word, everybody? Present. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So at this moment, I'm going to assume that most everybody, probably everybody in the room, that you have accepted Christ, that you're in Christ. What Paul is saying, he's writing this, he's in this portion of the book, he's making an assumption, he's writing to those who have accepted that, they are in Christ. He said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies the opposite of what happened in Romans chapter 1. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. Rather, in Romans chapter 1, they dishonored their bodies among themselves with one another. They brought dishonor to themselves and the creative work of God. Versus in Christ, that you would present your bodies the opposite. A living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Taking that apart just a little bit, it is, in chapter 1, the problem is they dishonored their bodies among themselves. Eternal consequences, eternal loss. Those who are in Christ, who are living in such a fashion, it's loss. That will come to the surface as we step into the next time period, whenever that is, however long away that is. They dishonored their bodies among themselves versus presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul said, because of what's been done, I beseech you, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. So it goes on. Reading it out of the Amplified to drive in the word present. I appeal. So this is the Amplified version, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God. So Paul is saying, I appeal, and I beg you. I'm begging you. I beg you. The way God designed life is He had specific intentions for you. And it starts with the enablings He gave to you that transcend family, nation, culture, abuse, privileges, class, that transcend all of that. It is the enablings of God, chosen by Him, given to you, is the starting place, building on what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. What Jesus did deals with the sin problem. Building on that is the living on the provision and through the provision of Jesus Christ. And what does it start? It doesn't start with your lacks. It doesn't start with the bad things that have happened. It doesn't start with the catastrophic things that have befallen you in your lifetime or your family. What is it that you present to God as a living sacrifice? In reality, it is the enablings that He has given to you, that He designed your life to roll around. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, it goes on in the Amplified Version, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties. This is what it means to present yourself. It means to make a decisive dedication of your bodies in view of all that's been done, in view of the creative work of God, for you to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties. I love how the Amplified says that. What is God saying is how life was designed to work as God intended it for to be. Once sin came into being, the answer was the provision of Jesus in Christ. So the intention is to beg you to put the cross ties of your life, laying yourself, so to speak, on the intentions. Jesus made it possible for us to fulfill the Father's original intentions because He dealt with sin. Has the Holy Spirit had Paul write this? There is the dimension, Paul, in essence, I beg you to present yourself, your life, your faculties, as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. I want to suggest, if the ushers could come, because I would like to hand these elements out to the people in the congregation. So if you could come, and if you need to enlist two or three gals, guys, young folks, older folks, medium-aged folks, little folks, big folks. If you need to enlist some, please do, so that we can hand this out. So the intention this morning is to give you, while pondering the cross, the ultimate provision. And if you could just begin to hand it out to the people. And sound booth or video booth, if something appropriate musically, if you could play it, please. So if you could hold these elements while they're being passed out. Thank you. So Paul, in essence, was saying to them, because of Christ, because of all what he's done, do the opposite of what Romans 1:21 says is the problem of humanity, apart from God and God's provision in Christ Jesus. Do the opposite. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The Amplified enhances, at least to me, present is make a decisive dedication. I remember the time that I, in essence, did this. Most of you know the time. I was a young adult. When I say a young adult, I was a teenager. I was going to youth camp at Boca Raton, Florida. There was about 500 youth present, and the speaker brought a message, made a statement that I don't really agree with, but he said repeatedly in that message, there's not five of you, not a handful, not five, that are going to amount to a hill of beans for God. He said that over and over. I was in high school. I certainly thought a whole lot different than I think now. Every one of you can amount to a huge mountain for God. Everyone. But he chose to say, not five of you are going to amount to a hill of beans for God. And I remember that I don't know why, but as I sat there, I thought, I want to be one of those five. If that's all it's going to be in this room of 500, I want to be one of those five. When that service was over, they dismissed to the regular evening activities after chapel. And I made a decision, and I believe this is where I made. So I'm encouraging you during the course of this week. A decisive decision. Today, my body. I'm going to make it a living sacrifice to God. Decisive. So for me, it was a tree outside Boca Raton. I chose, I'm not going to go to the snack shack or so on. I love the snack shack. I'm not going to go to the snack shack. I'm going to find a tree and I'm just going to tell God, I'm going to be one of those five. I don't know anything about anything. I just know I want to be. If there's only going to be five of us, I want to be one of them. And I commit myself to you and I say no to everything else. A decisive decision for Christ. Chapter 12, 13, 14, 15 and on. The point is living. How do you live based on Jesus Christ? How do you live? In that sense, roll along in God's purposes. Paul started it with, therefore, based on everything that preceded it, therefore, I beg you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Actually, we'll find out next week, it's your spiritual act of worship. Has everybody been served, please? Yes? Thank you for serving. So Jesus, you are the consummate example of fully embracing and fully dedicating yourself to the Father's purposes. So in the context of what you have done, and we proclaim you, I would make a decisive decision to glorify God with my body, and that my faculties, my resources, what you have given to me, that I will be a living sacrifice and proclaim it, Lord, in taking of the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made of his own body, of his own blood. So if you'll take what Jesus said, this is my body broken for you, and I would break it. your body was broken for me. I present mine, my body, as a living sacrifice. Through you, because of you. Please take this with me. And Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the New Testament. It's in my blood. It's me. It's his own blood. It's the blood of the cross. It's my blood shed for you. Redeemed us." I believe it's worthy of the highest honor. And I do believe when we get to heaven and when we're permitted to see the very throne of God, I do believe we'll see blood on that throne. I believe it will be the blood of Jesus Christ. His own blood. The blood of sprinkling. Lord, decisive decision to build it on you. Drink this with me, please, in honor of Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you. Now, if you bow your heads, close your eyes, if you're making a decisive decision about some aspect of your life, about your whole life, about tomorrow, what you have to decide tomorrow, to present your bodies to God, a living sacrifice, whatever the decisive decision is, just tell God loud enough that you can hear yourself, just he can hear it through your lips, "I am deciding to." Hear these things, Lord. It is by you, it is through you, and it is to you. And we honor you. And sometimes it helps to tell someone. So I'm going to stay at the front this week. And if it would help you to tell someone, "I made a decisive decision. And I just want you to know," or "I made a decisive decision about," if you choose, I'll be glad to pray with you. There's also a ministry team that will be over here, and they would be delighted to pray with you over any particular area or need of your life. And this season is typically a wonderful season of family and friends. And it tends to be the saddest and most depressing season because family and friends haven't turned out to be what people thought or hoped that they would. The needs of people tend to be more on the surface and more felt. They tend to be. Be especially attentive to people. If a name comes to your mind, "I should contact so-and-so," that you know, whether in your neighborhood or in the body of Christ or in your family, contact them, call them, go see them, write them a note. Extend yourself to people. People feel the need. And as you'll see in next week or the week after that, he has designed us what this whole three or four verses are in the beginning of chapter 12. It is talking about the role that God designed you to function in and play in the family that he was building, the body of Christ. Lord, thank you for everybody in the room. I bless them. I bless their lives. I bless your intentions when you made them your original intentions. Thank you for Jesus who has made your intentions possible again. It's in his name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Please be kind to those around you.